Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. In the previous episode, we saw the first part of the 26th chapter of 1 Samuel, where David and Abishai went down literally into the midst of Saul's army while they were all sleeping. Why were they sleeping? Well, because a sound sleep from the Lord had fallen upon them. And so Abishai tried to get David to allow him to kill Saul, and David said, no, I'm not going to touch it. The Lord's anointed. Second time we've seen that type of language in an encounter. So they take Saul's spear and they take the water jug by his head and they leave. Let's pick it up in verse 13. Then David crossed over to the other side and stood on top of the mountain at a distance with a large area between them. So you get the scene here. He crosses over to the other side from where Saul was. He goes to the top of the mountain. And there's a distance between them, a large area between them and a distance. But it's still within shouting range. How do I know that? Well, because they're about to talk to each other and shout to each other. Verse 14, David called to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying. So David cries out, and he's crying out to Saul's army, but particularly to Abner. Remember, he was the leader, commander of the army. And he says this to Abner. Will you not answer, Abner? Then Abner replied, who are you who calls the king? So he said, hey, Abner, wake up, wake up, wake up. Are you going to answer me? And then he comes back, who's trying to call the king here? Verse 15, so David said to Abner, are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why have you not guarded your lord, the king? For one of the people came to destroy the king, your lord. So David drops his bombshell and says, hey, man, aren't you the man? Aren't you the commander? Aren't you the big guy? There's nobody like you in Israel, is there? But you haven't guarded your lord, the king. Somebody came in there to destroy him. David continues, verse 16. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, all of you must surely die because you did not guard your lord, the Lord's anointed. And so your Lord, speaking of Saul, the Lord, that's the Most High, the Lord's anointed. David continues, and now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was at his head. So I guess he's showing him, putting it on display. And so they could hear him, they could see him, they could see the spear, they could see the water. Verse 17, I guess Saul woke up. Then Saul recognized David's voice and said, is that your voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, the king. He said, why then is my lord pursuing his servant? This is David speaking. And David is asking Saul, why are you pursuing me? And what we're about to see right here is it's the same exact pattern that we've seen already in one of these encounters. Same type of thing. Just watch this. So David says, hey, why are you pursuing me? I'm your servant. Why is my lord? And again, he says over and over and over and over, my Lord, terms of honor. We saw it with Abigail, terms of honor and respect. Why are you pursuing your servant? And then he asks another question, for what have I done? And then another question, or what evil is in my hand? David continues, verse 19. Now, therefore, let my Lord, the king, listen to the words of his servant. So he's telling Saul, hey, just listen to what I have to say right here. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. In other words, if it's the Lord that has stirred Saul up against David and David has done something wrong, then I'll bring forth an offering to sacrifice it somehow. But if it is men, in other words, men who have stirred you up, cursed are they before the Lord, for they have driven me out today so that I wouldn't have no attachment with the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. So he's saying, if it's men that have stirred you up like that, then let them be cursed because they have driven me away from you, driven me away from the inheritance of the Lord. Okay? And he's saying, it's other men who've done this. He continues, verse 20. Now then, do not let my blood fall to the ground away from the presence of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to search for a single flea, just as one hunts a partridge in the mountains. And that's the second time that David's referred to himself as just being a flea. But he's telling Saul, hey, don't let my blood fall to the ground away from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to be back in the presence of the Lord among the people of the Lord. Verse 21. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Really? Yes, I have sinned and returned, my son David, for I will not harm you again, because my life was precious in your sight this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have committed a serious error. This is quite a thing for a king to say. I mean, any king to acknowledge this in this way. And so he does. He says, I have played the fool. I committed a serious error. And he asked him, David, I want you to return. I'm not going to harm you. No harm's going to come your way. Verse 22. David replied, behold, the spear of the king. Now let one of the young men come over and take it. The Lord will repay each man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I refused to stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. David continues, now behold, as your life was highly valued in my sight this day, so may my life be highly valued in the sight of the Lord, and may he deliver me from all distress. And so he's making this declaration that in the same way that I valued your life, I pray that the Lord will value my life, and I'll be highly valued in the sight of the Lord, and that he will deliver me from all my distress. Well, who's causing the distress in his life? Yeah, Saul. So he's saying this to Saul, and he's not saying it directly, but he's saying it rather forthrightly to where Saul would know exactly what's going on. Okay, the last verse here, chapter 26. Then Saul said to David, blessed are you, my son David. You will both accomplish much and surely prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Saul declares blessing upon him. He says, you're blessed. And you know what, David? You will accomplish and you will prevail. You're going to accomplish much and you're going to prevail over much. So David goes his own way. He doesn't go back with Saul. Saul wanted to come back with him. He doesn't go there. He goes his own way, and Saul returns to his place. This is the second time, isn't it, that we've seen this type of thing happen where Saul literally repented and said, I've done this wrong. I shouldn't have been doing this. The inference is that he quit doing it, though it never forthrightly says, I don't think that I'll never do this again. But we find him falling back into the pattern of doing it over and over again. Well, we'll press on next time. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.